But this movie looks trash. As Omar said, it's going to do great overseas. He was like, oh, foreigners love watching America, like, destroyed
by the moon.
He was like, San Andreas set, like, records overseas because people just wanted to see California burn.
Do you think The Rock is mad that he's not in Moonfall?
He plays the moon. I didn't mean to spoil this, but, like, he's the moon.
My trailer also is that they did something that they did in Day After Tomorrow, where they sort of anthropomorphize, like, the elements, the weather, where it's just like you're running down a hallway from like a breeze.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be a lot of like, why is the moon just a giant villain now? Like, does that get explained? And is it in fact just The Rock?
I hope it's just The Rock, because one, amazing pun, and two, I get to read the Men's Health workout on how he became the moon, right? There's always this like, this was my hardest workout ever. I really had to focus in order to become the moon.
If I'm being honest, though, the Day After Tomorrow, still the one thing that resonates from that bad movie is that I still am very careful when I walk through cars so as not to cut my leg open and potentially die from infection like Emmy Rossum almost did. And I do. Every time I walk through a parking lot, I try to keep my legs. I'm sorry that I spoiled that for you guys 14 years after the fact. So that, you know, at least they contributed that to my life.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm afraid of wolves for a similar reason.
That they'll just show up at the New York Public Library?
Yeah, didn't expect wolves to factor in so much in the New York post-apocalyptic weather dystopia.
Did you need a reason to be afraid of wolves, Pablo? Was there a time in your life when you thought you could handle them?
You know, at a certain point, you realize that, like, yeah, I read too much Animorphs, Spencer, and I was like, I feel like I'm friends with all of these creatures. I'm kind of on the spectrum of wolf somewhere.
Did you just think wolves were outdoorsy dogs? Like, REI dogs.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. REI dogs. Yes.
You do have sort of wolfy, like, wolf pup hair a little bit, Pablo. Yeah. There's a
Thank
little...
Thank you. I mean,
yeah.
This is like, you know, this is yeah, very, very, very wolf. Very wolf.
Very teen wolf, maybe. Maybe not wolf wolf.
Yeah, prepubescent wolf.
If you give that 25 or 30 years, and I think you're going to be having something. I think you're going to really...
Pablo's Movember is like 6 years.
Mm-hmm. I'm just staring at Spencer's beard now, and I am overcome with insecurities. So, hey, welcome to Debatable. It's a fake TV show where we grapple with our insecurities. That is Spencer Hall down beneath me. That is Al Duncan to my right on your screen. Alabaster, did you see Day After Tomorrow?
I don't think so, actually. I tried to rack my memory to see if I but no, I don't think I have.
You haven't seen The Day After Tomorrow? Jake Gyllenhaal was at his peak then. He was dating Kirsten Dunst. What are you talking about? Charlie,
you know,
what?
I'm Team Taylor, so I decided not to watch it.
This is Debatable, parentheses, Charlie's version.
I appreciate the solidarity there.
Yep. Ten years in the making. All right, guys, you ready to talk about some sports on this fake TV show?
I guess.
All right. First question. How do you see the NFL's investigation into Stephen Ross and the tanking allegations playing out?
Very hand-wringingly. You know, this is the one thing the NFL, no league really can have any sense of humor about, even though they know that tanking, rebuilding, however you want to draw that line, we can get into that too. But this stuff happens a lot. But the number one rule of Tank Club is that you don't talk about Tank Club, because then what happens is everybody has to be very, very concerned in real ways about, like, the integrity of your game. Like, there is a very funny thing that happens when you have a draft system that rewards losing. People want to lose. Like, Stephen Ross and all of this, right? And here's the allegation. Flores alleges that Ross, the Dolphins' billionaire owner, incentivized him to tank, offering $100,000 for every loss in 2019. Well, the reason Stephen Ross presumably wanted to do that is because Joe Burrow was on the other side of that terrible mudslide into awfulness. And so that's why you do it. And you can't really stop it so long as those incentives are as such. And so what do? You very harshly punish anyone who admits to doing it, even if you can tell, if you look a little bit harder than usual, that there are actually examples of this in broad daylight of teams doing it.
I mean, what I want to say is this: nothing, because power protects power. And this is not, I think a lot of times we think about fake cops too much as being real. Like, there are fake cops all over the place, right? The NFL, the commissioner of the NFL is a fake cop, right? The rules of the NCAA are fake cops. Like, these are fake police that are going to enact fake laws to try to not punish somebody who was there to not be punished anyway, right? You don't get rich to be punished, and you don't get rich to consider other people's feelings. Those are two things that rich people do not like doing, okay? I don't know if anyone really likes doing them, but rich people, they haven't left money so that doesn't happen. But the thing to me that might stick is the issue of affecting the actual competition on the field, particularly because, yes, not because of any right or wrong, but because it affects the integrity of the product, particularly when it comes to one very large potential business partner, and that is sports betting. Sports betting, a huge potential growth market for the NFL, who has been cozying up ever so slightly to it over the past 5 years. That would be an issue for potential partners to say,
yep,
how can we partner with you 100% if we're not entirely sure about the 100% integrity of competition in your game? That to me might be something that they can't budge.
That's a fantastic point, Spencer, because I'm like, I don't think they're going to do much. I mean, it took me longer to read Brian Flores' 58-page lawsuit than it took them to deem the entire thing meritless. Like, the idea that they would, within 45 minutes of that coming out and being made public, say, this entire lawsuit is without merit. Those are real allegations. And to not at least say or single that part out and say, while we believe that this idea that we're in collusion to keep black coaches out is without merit, we will investigate those very, very inflammatory comments about tanking and being paid specifically for it. Because here's the thing. I talked to Hugh Jackson yesterday on SportsCenter, right? Which was a whole other layer of
yeah, wow. Elle, I was fascinated watching that. I want to hear about your perspective on it, but please continue.
Yeah, it's just, well, so, because as we all know, to catch you up, Hugh Jackson, former Raiders coach for 1 year, was with the Browns for 2.5 years. We saw something play out on Twitter yesterday where the head of his foundation, Kimberly DeMart, she tweeted, like, I'm so glad and proud for Brian Flores, and we have evidence, and I hope that he DMs me, because we also have evidence that the Browns did the same thing and incentivized tanking. And Hugh Jackson responded and was like, yeah, we do. And it just, they kept intimating, implying, really doing more even than intimating, that he was paid to tank, right? Which makes sense considering he was 3-36-1 in 2.5 years in Cleveland. So when we got the exclusive for him to join us on SportsCenter, I'm thinking, like, okay, he's ready to talk. He said he was ready to talk. He was ready to pull the curtain back, and he wanted to shed light on how corrupt this whole situation is. But he very much sort of backed off that. And he right? Like, when I sort of asked him about the situation with tanking and being incentivized to tank, he said that it wasn't exactly like explicitly being paid per loss like Brian Flores is alleging. He sort of said that basically he was set up to not be able to win. He basically said he was getting bonuses for things that typically you'd get bonuses for winning, right? It's a results-oriented job. He was getting bonuses for things like having the youngest roster, which of course does not lead to any winning, or you know, having this. And he just thought that the metrics were odd. Now, he went on this morning to say that he received $750,000 in bonuses, and that, again, he was confused about like where the bonuses were coming from and what he would be judged on. He then went on to say that Jimmy Haslam basically gave him a handshake agreement and was like, listen, we know that we put you in a bad situation. We're not going to judge you on the criteria of winning or losing because we want you to lose. This is, of course, all alleged. So we're going to take care of you and give you a contract extension. And then he went on to say how it wasn't made public, and he was given this contract extension as essentially an assurance was made to him. Like, we will protect you. You're going to be the coach through the tank, but we'll also allow you time to be on the other side of the tank, right? And then he was fired halfway through the season. So I was a little confused because it felt like the Browns, right? It felt like the Browns were sort of doing the smart tank.
Yes,
thing,
no,
right?
Al, this is exactly the point. The Browns know the rules about yes. Tank Club.
Yes.
Right?
Don't like, talk about
they
it.
They are actually smart about not breaking the rule because yes. When you say things out loud so explicitly, then you jeopardize the entire enterprise.
Yes.
Hugh Jackson was describing, and I was listening to you ask all of the right questions of this man, and he was describing a rebuild. And the difference categorically between a rebuild and a tank, you know, this is, I mean, look, there are larger philosophical questions and concerns we can have about how it is so often in the NFL that black coaches are the ones who are asked to take all of these L's on their records. Why is it that you guys turn to those people when you have a team that is rebuilding or tanking? A fair question. But in terms of whether there is actionable information about what a team did that can be punished by the league,
right.
The Browns pulled it off in a smart way.
Yes.
For a reason that was logical. And again, you tank because the incentives are there. The line that you cross is when you explicitly say, we want to lose games on purpose.
Yes.
And that is what Stephen Ross is alleged to have done. And Spencer, I feel like that distinction is, again, a very fake cop procedural one.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe it's a distinction without a difference in terms of just like the intent of all of this. But in terms of execution, it's kind of the thing that matters the most when it comes to fake law in football.
L, the thing that fascinates me most about Hugh Jackson's interaction is this. On Twitter, you don't have a lawyer. All right. At least I don't. I know most people don't. Maybe this is an up and coming line of business for attorneys that you could have your Twitter lawyer who's just sitting there in your mentions going, you should redact that. Take that back. Don't say that. You don't have to answer that question because there's a big change. What happens when you say it out loud in public and then maybe you get a phone call. Maybe you get two phone calls. Maybe you get three phone calls where we talk about maybe we don't talk about Tank Club, but what I can do is sort of sketch the outline without necessarily saying it, which yep. is you say it's an astonishing sentence when you go, oh, man, the Browns did it smart. The Browns did it intelligently.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. But that's where we're at. Also, I don't think you're going to see anything like discovery on this. You don't. The last time anyone opened up an NFL owner's GM's emails in a public forum, the head coach of the Raiders got fired, right? They're not going to do this. They're not going to go through the process.
They will stomp with their leather bottom shoes on all sorts of devices mm-hmm. before that ever comes to pass.
Defamatory is a big word here because it implies that there's actual damage, I believe, is the legal construct. Not an attorney, but, you know, I play one on TV sometimes. And defamatory would imply that you would have to prove damages. You would have to say, I've been defamed. You're not going to do that because there's going to have to be a process of discovery where everybody right. puts their cards on the table and says, I have these texts, I have these emails. Every time that has happened, it has gone badly for the NFL and for management. And I think broadly speaking, for anyone in management in sports, that never goes well. They're not going to want to see that. You'll see some checks written. They like to keep things quiet. That's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah. I wanted to bring something up and then ask you a question because I think the answer to this problem, right, in terms of like how do you get teams to stop wanting to lose on purpose is to change the incentives, right? Like I'm a big, and this is something that many people are uncomfortable with. I'm sure our employer, which loves and broadcasts the NFL draft, also against this idea, but, you know, abolish the draft or untangle your record from your reward in terms of bad getting good returns, right? That's how you actually solve this. Until then, everyone's just going to try and game the system. But the thing I wanted to ask about here is, you know, with the Flores thing and the Hugh Jackson thing, what we're realizing is that, you know, part of being a team that's smart at tanking is to get a coach and a GM and a front office and a staff that's all actually aligned with the mission. You know, like Brian Flores, like I think there's an understandable for his part. Like I now appreciate fully how much he hated, you know, the assumption that he would be a go along to get along guy. In fact, he's the opposite.
Correct.
Like, is there any person who is less like that than Brian Flores that we can remember? And the way, and Hugh Jackson clearly has some of that in him now. And that came across in your interview too. But if you don't have that guy, then you jeopardize the entire enterprise. And I just wonder, man, that is dysfunctional on a whole other level. You thought that this was going to work with that guy? How did you not understand this before he was hired to do the job that he did not want to do?
Because there's honestly an element of like, just be happy that you're here. I mean, these guys know that mm-hmm. black coaches don't get as many opportunities, and they certainly don't yep. get second opportunities. And so in their mind, it's like, we allowed you to have a seat at the table, or at least in the room. Shut up and do what you're told. Like, because there is the understanding, right? It is sort of just like a complicit understanding that it's going to be more difficult for you to get a job should you get fired. And so I think that's why when I asked Hugh Jackson, when he kept saying that he was just so confused about like why he was being incentivized to lose and like why he was getting all of these bonuses when his teams weren't winning. And then he got this extension. And so I asked him that, right? Like, well, why, if you felt like there was this cloak and dagger mission that you were uncomfortable with in terms of tanking, why did you accept that extension? And I was waiting for him to say, honestly, oh, because I'm a black guy and I didn't think I was going to get another opportunity, frankly. I thought they were going to judge me strictly on that record and I wasn't going to get another shot. He didn't. He sort of went into an answer and talked about his team and he cared about his team and them winning and he didn't want to abandon them or whatever. But I think that there is this idea that like once a black person does get a position, especially when you look around and don't see a ton of us, that we should just sort of come in, don't make any trouble, sit down, don't say anything, and just like be happy that we're there. And for Brian Flores, that's not at all what he was motivated by. And I think there was a crisis of conscience between him and Stephen Rise. Obviously, things deteriorated very quickly. I don't know if it's because, as some people are claiming, because he tried to pull him into a tampering situation with a very, very prolific quarterback at the time that was going to be becoming a free agent, but was not yet. I don't know if it's because like some reports are saying that, you know, Brian Flores wanted Joe Burrow and not Tua. I don't really know what the situation is. I just know that I think that for a guy like Brian Flores, it's a really tough situation to be in because you go toe-to-toe with an NFL billionaire, you're always going to lose.
I am astonished at this, y'all, that one, they've made movies about this. Brian Flores was supposed to lose and refused to. That's Major League.
That's Major League.
That's Ted Lasso. Major League. Have we considered? I know there are very heavy issues surrounding this that are very serious. A grim bit of calculus at the core of this is that Brian Flores sued because he knew if he didn't sue, he wasn't going to get a shot at an NFL head coaching gig again. And if he did sue, he wasn't going to get a shot at a head coaching gig. It was the same result either way. So, you know, there's bravery here, but there's also sense because it's not like he's losing anything given the hiring practices that the yes. NFL has demonstrated in the pattern. Additionally, on top of all this, tampering with Tom Brady in Miami, they couldn't pull that off. Tampa outplayed you. I've been right. to both places. How'd that happen? Thank if the man you. Has a weakness for boats, sun, and surf, Miami wins hands down. How badly did you fumble this particular ball, Miami? How?
They should have recruited him to go to 11. You ever been there? Mm-hmm. You'll never leave, right? You'll never yes, leave. Yeah, right?
Yeah. Is that where the kids are going these days? Or is yeah, that where 45-year-old Tom yeah. Brady would feel young again by going? Yeah.
Totally. 11 is great for old, like washed people like us because there is like a club lounge element to mm-hmm. it. Then of course there are also the shoe modeling element where the women are only wearing shoes. And I think that's what's great, is that like if you start to like find yourself in a situation in 11 where you feel a little bit creepy, you can just like switch locations in 11 and find your yoke, right? Like you can find your group. Mm-hmm. I would have definitely recruited. If you're recruiting, right, Pablo, Tom Brady to come to your hometown, where are you taking him?
Oh, man. Well, can I first, I mean, number one, like, I'm going full-on hipster with Tom Brady, right?
Are
like, I'm
you?
Appealing to his Gwyneth Paltrow. No, Al, I'm going Goop. I'm bringing him to, like, some weird Brooklyn spots. I'm bringing him to a weird, like, strip club maybe where, like, all of the workers there have, like, a very distinct literary sensibility, like tattoos, like a Portland vibe. I'm going crunchy. I'm going granola.
Yeah.
I'm going I'm a lot of, like, we're drinking – does he drink, like, bone broth? I'm just trying to now make a word cloud of, like, Brooklyn bone stereotypes. Mm-hmm. But I will point this out because Miami and its failure to pull off what would have been a great scene in the screenplay that Brian Flores has lawsuit, as Spencer has now pointed out, should be optioned into, like, that's a Wolf of Wall Street move. And they fumbled it to a degree that is humiliating, right? Like, if you are, let's just talk about this. The screenplay that I now want from this lawsuit. Not only has Tom Brady on the yacht and Brian Flores storming off, it also has, I love this now, Ryan Fitzpatrick is a main protagonist, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the quarterback. That's the quarterback who also refused to lose. This is amazing. Spencer, write this movie.
I think we just did. I think we can just take the last 5 minutes. That's our elevator pitch. We just made the movie, and we don't have to make a single thing up. Never told a joke. Don't need to. Just say what happened, and it's a better story than anything you could think of. By the way, straight out of central casting for Fitzpatrick to be that dude in this story.
100%.
1,000,000%. Yes, yes. Alabaster, what the hell do you want?
I would just like to acknowledge that Mr. Refused to Lose Ryan Fitzpatrick hasn't made the playoffs in 17 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know why? That's because he's perfect. He's perfect. That's why.
The way he is. Mm-hmm. Is he going to get a job next year? Is he going to get a job?
Well, L, he should, because everybody knows that the real championship, Alabaster, is the friends you make along the way.
Oh, God.
Yeah. He's gonna get work as like a river guide somewhere in like Colorado. That's what he's going to do. He's going to love it. He's just going to vibe.
What if he just went and like worked in Canton and like worked at the Hall of Fame? Could you imagine like if he was like your tour guide?
Shirtless. You know, yeah.
1,000,000,000%. Yes. I want all of this. Ugh. Oh,
Jesus Christ. Pablo, God, is there nobody you haven't taken a shameful picture with? God.
No. The answer is no.
When he'd make you call him Fitzmagic on the tour too, right? You'd be like, so you're Ryan. He's like, no, you call me Fitzmagic.
Yeah.
Let me take you around Canton. That's Randy Moss. He was pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He definitely has something bedazzled at his house with Fitzmagic on it.
Yeah. Do you want to go rollerblading later? I'm big into rollerblading. It's like skating, but on, you know, land.
And did I send him that bedazzled art myself because I made it in my studio? Perhaps. Who's to say?
I love it here.
Oh, that's wonderful. All right. Moving on to another relationship. Our question is, should Michigan feel confident in their relationship with Jim Harbaugh moving forward?
So, Spencer, I think we need Spencer's help here, Al. I don't know if you're fully caught up on this story. All I know is that Michigan was once the dream school of Jim Harbaugh. Now it is his safety school. And the Minnesota Vikings are involved here. Spencer, can you catch us up on what the hell this roller coaster of love has been like?
You know, I'm going to say this. Jim Harbaugh is so insane that I don't know if anything's going to be different tomorrow that wasn't the same yesterday. I really mean that. Because, one, the specter of him leaving for the NFL has been there all along. Because Michigan is, I think, a harder job than people know. Most people, I think, on the casual side would say, Michigan's a national power. That's a top five program. It's like always at 7 or 6. It hasn't quite taken the bump. And for a lot of reasons, right? Michigan, great academic school. They are the first to tell you that. They view football as something that's important, but it is not an industry unto itself like it is at Alabama or Georgia. Harbaugh is nuts. Harbaugh really is the person who signs all of his texts with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. He will really, like, if he's texting you, he will send that, okay? So the specter's always been there. He's always been unpredictable. He's always had this air of, like, keeping people on edge everywhere in the office, right? He will rebuild his whole staff if he has to, just like he did 2 years ago. And I think sometimes that kind of perpetual instability is the kind of thing that chafed people when he was in San Francisco, right? I know there were a lot of factors there, including management and ownership, but Harbaugh was part of that too. He can be abrasive. I do not think that he is a person for whom going and doing an interview and saying you're coming back changes a lot about that relationship. They're very happy if he's there, and if he doesn't, the university is still going to thrive and move on.
Okay, Alabaster, I want you to repeat the question again.
Okay. Should Michigan feel confident in their relationship with Jim Harbaugh moving forward?
Okay, story time. I was once in a relationship. This is a true story. I was once in a relationship, okay, and we, you know, off and on somewhat lived together. I went out of town for business for a few days and decided I was supposed to be gone for 3 days, but I decided, not because I was trying to catch my significant other in anything, but just decided to come home a little bit early because work wrapped up early, right? Curiously, I couldn't get a hold of him for like an entire day to tell him that I was coming home early. So like, whatever. I come back to my house, and all of my pictures that featured me in them are gone.
Oh no.
All of my clothes that were hanging neatly in my closet are not there. My toothbrush, anything that identified that was my house was in a closet. And when I, of course, asked my significant other in an accusatory tone what happened, he fabricated a story where he thought I was cheating on him and I flew across the country to cheat on him. So in a bit of rage, he gathered all of my things and was going to, Angela Bassett style, burn my shit. But then he decided, let me not do that because maybe that's not the case. Maybe she wasn't cheating on me. And he just forgot to put all my stuff back. Now, I wasn't born the day before. I know what he was doing. He was hiding every trace of me because he obviously had someone at my house. The beautiful thing is that it was my house. So I kicked his ass out and we broke up. But the difference with this and with Harbaugh in Michigan is that Michigan actually needs Jim Harbaugh, because the truth of the matter is this isn't about Jim Harbaugh not taking the job in Minnesota or deciding to come back. Jim Harbaugh manufactured that there was going to be all of this hullabaloo about him coming back to the NFL, that there would be all these interested teams. Because if that's the case, Spencer, if all of these NFL teams were interested in poaching him back and pulling him back to the NFL, why did it take an entire month for him to get an interview? And why was it at a team where he had an actual connection with the GM? I think he just didn't get this job, frankly. And now he's sulking his way back to Michigan, who now understands that they are the side chick. But what are you supposed to do? They need Jim Harbaugh, especially at this late game at this late stage of the game, right? They need him because they need those guys that decided to sign with Michigan yesterday to have the coach there that recruited them. So I feel like Michigan's in a tough position. You talk about Harbaugh being in a tough position. Michigan's in a tough position because what do you do? Clearly he doesn't want to be there, or clearly he's trying to use the NFL to get back at you for cutting his money or whatever perceived a grievance he has. But you need him in the building. So I'm not sure what you're supposed to do.
Hold on. Before we get to the actual substance of this, I cannot believe that Jim Harbaugh would gaslight you like that, Al. In your house, in your big house, how dare
you believe he did that to me in my big house?
How dare
you?
With an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. That's how he did it.
Can you believe that shit, though?
No,
Someone would sell you that story and think that you would believe it?
But what I on some level, as immediately dead on arrival as that story is, I kind of admire the sheer audacity of actually, you did this. You're responsible for my mistrust, which is just an incredible all-time, terrible asshole move.
What kind of moron thinks it's better to just, instead of just admitting I had someone here and I didn't want to be, you think it's better to admit you almost burned my shit to the ground? What? You're a psychopath. That's way worse. We can maybe move past cheating. We can't move past arson. What are you talking about?
El, did he say, so what happened was? That's always the sign this story is going in a really good spot. So what happened just boot him out right then. It's over right then.
You know how he started, which is always the worst? He started with, all right, I'm going to be real with you. This dude really did this.
I am about to lie. That is what that means. I am about to tell many, many lies.
They're coming out now.
Yeah. What? Two things on the Harbaugh thing. Harbaugh, the recruiting thing, honestly, Jim's not that guy. He has people who do that. And those people are all on staff. Jim is more of a closer type dude who is 100% about football. This is one of the sources of friction with him at the college game, that he's more of that X's and O's organizational type dude. He's not necessarily a Lane Kiffin who's wearing a hoodie and getting his picture taken with the Lambo, the Old Miss Lambo with the recruit, right? He may not even be Brian Kelly level, i.e. dancing in the videos like the producers at every label that is not Death Row. By the way, that recruit went, where did that recruit go that Brian
Alabama.
Kelly?
Alabama!
That's right!
Oh, wait! Wait, 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 wait. That guy
went to Alabama.
Oh my lord. I thought he was signed, sealed, and delivered. That's so much better.
Brian Kelly's dance moves are 0-for-1. 0-for-1.
My family. Oh god, this his family. Oh Jesus.
Yeah, but the other thing with Harbaugh in Michigan is this, that he is 1-5 against Ohio State. It feels good right now. And he, like, that is the bellwether game for everybody. Is, are you competitive? It's not winning every year. It's, are you competitive? They won once. Now, I guarantee you, by the way, Jim Harbaugh probably walked in that building. He's like, got to beat Ohio State's here. I'm the guy who knows how to do it. Guarantee you, zero self-awareness in that respect, okay? He beat them last year. He's still victorious against them, no matter what happened any of the games before.
Do we think that Harbaugh just, like, knows that, like, this is as good as it's ever going to get for him, like, an appearance in the playoffs and then an ass-whooping, like, from a much better opponent, probably coming from the SEC? Like, is there an element of that, of just the tea leaves and being like, I'm never going to do better than beating Ohio State and making it to the playoffs in the same year? So, like, it's a fait accompli, it sort of feels like.
No, he's insane. He thinks this is the way it is now. And he thinks that Alabama game, he's like, you know what, if we just, if everything was fair and equal and we just lined up against him and played him next week, we'd beat him. That's, this is one of the reasons he's successful, and it's one of the reasons that he is abrasive and sort of can chafe at people, is that it is like that all day, every day. He is still the man. He is the guy who will take his shirt off past the age of 50 at a camp with kids. He really thinks he is the dude who can go out there and still run drills. Do you know the guy who thinks he's still got it? That's Jim Harbaugh at every turn.
So does that, I mean, so then I guess just psychologically then, Spencer, does he seem like more of an NFL guy to you as a result of all of these descriptions?
Yeah, I honestly do. I think it's kind of a marvel that he's been at Michigan this long. I think after 2020, when Michigan was terrible, most people, or 2021, most 20, yeah, 2020, most people thought that, you know, maybe this was the start of the downhill decline into an eventual departure back to the NFL, because the recruiting element isn't so much his thing, even though he makes good effort at it and hires good people to do it. And additionally, I don't think that the NFL thing is done for him. I think because he hasn't won, you know, coming back to Michigan, I think it can be kind of a safety school move for him. But additionally, I don't think that the NFL is a done deal for him. I don't think this story is necessarily over. By the way, I just pissed off every single Michigan fan watching this by using the word safety school with Michigan in the same sentence. I'm very sorry about that.
Alabaster, I mean, where were we with the Vikings? I mean, because L raised this theory that maybe he just didn't get the job and that's it. And I think that does sound kind of like about right, given what we've seen in the news cycle, right? That the Vikings
didn't go with Kevin O'Connell,
mm-hmm. Rams offensive coordinator. And what we had been told from our reporter, Courtney Cronin, was that Harbaugh was not offered the job. So he went back there and said, I will take you back, Michigan. But he did not have the other option that he thought he would have.
Exactly. It took them a month to bring him in, and they only brought him in because of his relationship with Kwesi. And that's Kwesi. I did it. I know. Well, it's me, and I had to. So just...
What I love is that it's just, you have to be a nerd to even get the reference on top of the actual maneuver that you
Yeah, his name is Kwesi Adofo Mensah, but, like, you know, just leaving it at Kwesi is just fine.
New Vikings GM.
Yeah, the new Vikings GM. Again, like, I just feel like if there was this fervor for Jim Harbaugh services in the NFL, there were at the time nine head coaching positions that opened up. We heard these rumors literally like within minutes of them getting their ass kicked by Georgia. So I just, like, if there was, why didn't he go anywhere but the Vikings, and why did they wait an entire month to bring him in? I don't think any of it makes any sense.
There's one thing that makes sense to me about him not getting that job. I bet he met Kirk Cousins and they were like, this is too much quarterback in one room. This is way too much QB1. This is way too much inspirational messages on a black background on Instagram for one room.
By the way, can we just muse about where Mike Zimmer is right now as all of this is happening? Where did he go?
He's writing He's writing letters to all his former players about how they disappointed him. That's all he's doing. You know how, like, Rick Bisaccia was, you know, writing letters like, thank you for all your hard effort. And they're like, what a great guy, what a pro. Mike Zimmer's doing the exact same thing. I've said this on Twitter, but, like, he's just sending nasty notes to, like, you made my life really hard by sucking. You should have sucked less and I'd still be coach, and you're a problem. I hope you have a bad day. Love, Mike Zimmer.
And in the background somewhere, floating on like a pool noodle, is the Instagram model that he is in a relationship with, just completing the scene of just absolute, the picture of what retirement should look like from the NFL.
Forced retirement.
Yeah, non-optional.
Sorry. Yeah.
Involuntary.
Awesome. All right, we are moving on to a game of whodunit. We give you a quote. You guys come together for a minute and tell us whodunit. First quote. We climb up the chimney. We ain't ducking no smoke. If you're going to cry, what the baby's going to do? And your options are Anthony Edwards, Ja Morant, Jimmy Butler, or Jalen Green.
Any one of them could have said this, except for Ja.
I know. Yeah, Ja's more of a tweeter than a speaker. He's like definitely like the guy.
Yeah.
This feels like Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. We ain't ducking those. I just love, can we just shout out Alabaster for the way that he said it? He just really leaned in to the.
Yeah. Yeah. Not
we
uncomfortable
ain't, we
at
ain't
all.
Ain't ducking no smoke. If you are going to cry, what the baby's gonna do?
It's like, how did Alabaster sound more like my computer than my computer does? And I'm asking it to speak
yeah,
the loud.
Yeah, the yeah. speech. Yeah, the speech to text. He 100% sounds like the girl on TikTok. We climb up the chimney. Mm-hmm. We ain't ducking no smoke. If you're going to cry, what the baby's gonna do?
Al, you are too good at the TikTok automated voice. I'm just gonna say that.
Just randomly slip that in every like fourth sentence or so for the rest of the show, please.
Yeah, please use that on SportsCenter. Yeah, I mean, look, the reason it wouldn't be Ja is because, like, you know, he's also real young, and the babies, isn't he like one? I don't know. I what are we voting here? I'll leave it up to democracy.
Well, are the Heat still the top seed in the East? Because I feel like.
Are the Heat still the top seed in the East?
They were.
Infuriate Miami by looking this up. They're now second. They are one game behind the Bulls.
This just feels like the wisdom of Jimmy Butler, the man who took the windows off, the mirrors off of his car so he wouldn't look back, right? And took that real literally. Like he really did that.
I'm comfortable going with Jimmy Butler. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's a literal chimney that they are climbing.
Motivation 1000. Road safety zero. That's Jimmy Butler. I'm just going to go and say it's him.
Final answer. Yes.
We ain't ducking no smoke, man. We're going to let everybody know we're here. What? Trying to get a win. And if you don't like it, oh well.
Hey, you might as well bring it. So
if you're going to cry, what the baby's going to do?
Wow. I love it. I love Ja more than ever now. I love him more than ever.
But even in a very Ja way, he says it with like his shoulders hunched over and he sort of mumbles it a little bit, right?
Yeah,
if that's
like,
Jimmy Butler, he's doing it a very different way.
He's not like a soundbite guy. He's more of a like, okay, I work this out and then I will put it on Twitter where I'll kill it, right? He's a social media assassin. He's not necessarily the soundbite guy. That's good though. You see, this is development of a young player. He's becoming like a 9-tool player.
Young goat. I mean, he is the best watch in the NBA, Ja Morant.
He's so fun
right now. He is unbelievably fun to watch. The post-game pressers, Alabaster, clearly also worth our time. What do you got for us,
Pablo? I just want you to read this quote. Given your history of being, you know, somewhat robotic, I want you to give this quote a read.
Somewhat. Oh, hold on. I'm so robotic that my screen froze. Okay. you want to deliver this as in like I'm doing your job?
However you think is best.
Pretend like you're introducing this on ESPN Daily. Like, what are you saying here?
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. We climb up the chimney. We ain't ducking no smoke. If you're going to cry, what the baby's gonna do?
Oh God, the pause was entirely
That's
too
terrible.
Long. It was not. It was much more than pregnant. That was bad.
My pause birthed.
Yeah. Hey. Hey, Pablo. Did you see where he did that dunk last night? That like nasty windmill dunk in the middle of a game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Madison Square Garden. That was.
Yes.
That's awesome. That's awesome. He probably loves it there and is gonna sign with the Knicks. That's definitely what's gonna happen.
And you know what? If people are upset, if you're gonna cry, what the baby's gonna do, right?
Yeah, Baber's got a windmill dunk in the middle of a game. That's what the Grizz do.
I mean, Spencer, you're joking, but I guarantee you I could find a meme right now that already has Ja Morant in a Photoshop Knicks jersey.
For sure.
I know.
For sure. It,
like, the Knicks hope is my favorite thing because it's immortal and it's always wrong. It's
always
amazing.
It is the NBA version of is Texas football back? No, it's not.
No.
It is not. It's not. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been. Just because you win a couple games, bing bong, it's not back. Stop it. Stop. Stop.
They got videos, El. They got videos.
Oh, they have so many videos.
Bing bong.
So many bing bongs. Am I afraid, as always, to look into bing bong guys like social media history because I fear that we're going to milkshake duck Bing Bong guy. Yes, also that. But until then, yeah, we're binging bonging. Binging and bonging, Alabaster.
Bonging is something that I definitely didn't.
More bonging lately.
Our next quote. Binging,
to be honest. Bonging.
This is garbage, okay? It pisses me off. It comes from a site called Bro Bible by a guy named Sliced Bread. Yeah. And everybody runs with it. So it's written on the internet as gospel. And then to have coaches in our league and across the league to say it, clown acts.
Yeah, we all know who did this.
Dabo Swinney. B, Nick Saban. C, Jimbo Fisher. Or D, Kirby Smart.
Great delivery.
You got to say it in the voice. Spencer, do you want to take a crack at this one? You got to say it in his voice.
This garbage, okay? Okay? It pisses me off. It comes from a site called Bro Bible by a guy named Sliced Bread. Then everybody runs with it, so it's written on the internet as gospel. And then to have coaches in our league and across the league say it, clown acts. Clown acts.
Wow.
I'll finish it up. Jimbo. I'll finish it up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm an easy guy to find. You know where to find me. Jimbo, that's when you know it's West Virginia, because Jimbo came in and was like, you know where I am. Come see me.
Why didn't he just call out Lane Kiffin by name? That's the coach, right? Like, just say it. If you're going to get mad and call out Sliced Bread on Bro Bible, then call out Lane Kiffin, too.
Because I don't do clown talk. I don't do clown talk, L. Clown names don't come out of this mouth. You know what does? Excellence. Excellence, that's all I do. I like that he quoted the number. By the way, this is also the thing, which is even if you are Jimbo and you accept that this is not true, that there's not this like $30 million, he still put $30 million out there as the like pool price for NL or name, image, and likeness money at A&M. Okay. Which again is just one guy reporting it. It's pulling it out of thin air. There's nothing substantiated to it. It's just, again, like he said, something off the internet, but he still said the $30 million, didn't he? Didn't he? He's like, yeah, we wouldn't pay $30 million or $40 million or $50 million. Heck, we wouldn't pay $70 million. We could, because we're wealthy, but we definitely wouldn't pay that. Do you know what a recruit is hearing? A recruit is just hearing $30
million. Yeah, $30 million.
Wow. Which is totally false. Totally false.
Yeah, but for the people that have no idea what the hell we are talking about, right? Like, so there was this rumor from the Bro Bible that the reason that the Aggies have the top recruiting class right now is because they've got all of this money for name, image, and likeness, $30 million. Lane Kiffin, of course, what did he, like, retweeted or responded to the tweet or something like that? Mm-hmm. So he was mad because he was pissed off, saying that, like, you're attributing this class to not our fantastic recruiting or the future, or, you know, whatever. But that because we've got more money than anybody else to pay these players. That's why he was taking exception.
Yes. Which they should. Yeah, go ahead. Please show the clip. It's amazing. Oh.
Spencer's accent was spot on.
There is no $30 million fund. There is no $5 million. There is no $10 million. This is garbage, okay? And it does. It pisses me off that people, and here it comes from a site called Bro Bible by a guy named Sliced Bread. And everybody runs it. So it's written on the internet, it's gospel. How irresponsible is that? You guys, I'm going to tell you, there's some very reputable writers in college football and sports that wrote it and have said it and have done things. That's unbelievable to me. When I first heard it, I laughed. I said, oh, yeah, what a clown. I mean, I didn't even think anything of it. Because I don't have social media. And it kept building. And lately, I've heard more about it. To me, it's insulting to the players that we recruited that's why they would come here. You ever been to a game here? You ever come to school here and see the education? You ever talk about the 12th man in the Aggie Network when you're done? There ain't a better university in this country. And it's insulting to what you say. And all these, and we got writers who have said it and done it off Sliced Bread. A guy named Sly who made it up. Love to see who Sliced Bread is and put it out there with Sliced Bread. Let me find out where it comes from. And then to have coaches in our league and across this league to say it, clown.
Hey, Kiffin!
All right? Irresponsible as hell. Multiple coaches in our league. And the guy's griping about NIL, griping about transfer portal, using it the most and bragging about it the most. That's the ironic part. You want character? I'll take it with any of y'all. It's a joke. It does piss me off.
I gotta say, like, just the type of person who is a college football coach having to respond to the type of people who post on message boards is a lot of just the glory, Spencer, of your sport.
It is best. By the way, Rich, that's another rich guy brag there that Jimbo has. He's like, well, you know, I'm not on social media. You know, I got people to do that for me. Okay. All I do is ball and hunt. That's it. By the way, Jimbo completely about that life, by the way, will pull up to the facility in an F-150 with the camo print and maybe a deer still in the back from that morning. Like, he is 100% that dude, okay? That is authentic. But the other thing that's delightful about this to me, by the way, when he's going through all of these things, is this, that it should be 30 million. It should be 30, but like if you, what is the shame in your school being like, yeah, we got NIL money lined up because we'd like to like pay you. Exactly. We can't say we're paying you, but we can pay you. Like, they should be able to do that.
It does feel like that's more of what Miami is leaning into, Spencer. Is that fair to say? Like, what the University of Miami is doing is saying all the quiet parts very, very loudly.
Yeah, which is like, I adore that because I want that. Bring that back. Bring like the black hat Canes in, right? Bring like the bad guy villain Canes who are like, yes, we're going to pay them in bullion and crypto, right? We'll pay them in untraceable financial units. Like, that to me, that's perfect. I want that out of Miami. But the gall of anyone in college football saying, I can't believe that, you know, they would imply that our players would receive benefit. No, don't start that game. Don't start that game. Lane Kiffin's at Ole Miss. Ole Miss's history regarding recruiting and payment of players is a colorful and rich one. So is A&M's. So is Florida's, Georgia's, Tennessee's. Anybody.
Yes, all of them.
Anybody, right, in this sport has something that they can poke at with that. Yeah. So, like, yeah, go ahead and be sensitive. I'm thrilled that you made it said sliced bread in a press conference, all right, about Texas A&M. By the way, Pablo, according to Jimbo, you wasted all that money going to Harvard.
Yes, the best school in the country is the Aggies, okay?
I made a terrible
mistake. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
I mean,
by the way, I'm so mad at SportsCenter too because we play that sound, which was fantastic. And instead of just coming out and reacting and just, you know, making fun of Jimbo Fisher or Lane or whoever we chose to make fun of, they like show how like they're like, well, Georgia had the top recruiting class a few years ago and they won the national championship. I'm like, did you pull a hamstring with that stretch? What does that mean? What does that mean?
Which anchor were you just imitating there? Which one of your colleagues at SportsCenter was that person?
Oh, that's just
voice?
Like my catch-all like SportsCenter voice. Like whenever I'm making fun, and like it's me doing this too. So whenever I'm making fun of, I'm the one that read it. Whenever it's anything SportsCenter related, I just get this very I get this very, I don't know, Billy Broadcaster voice.
It's terrifying.
It's consistent. Yeah, it's bad.
It's very scary.
All right, guys. We are going to move on to a game of If Then. This is the game where we start a statement and you guys finish it. First one. If James Harden and Kyrie continue to struggle without KD, then blank.
Ooh. If James Harden and Kyrie continue to struggle without KD, then I hope we get headlines about how much James Harden hates playing with Kyrie, which I feel like we're so close to already. There are all these reports about how James Harden objects to the fact that Kyrie is only playing 50% of the games because James Harden, I think, for all of his flaws, is also a normal thinking person who's like, this seems not right. And I'm out here now trying to make things happen against the Phoenix Suns without Kevin Durant and with this dude. And he's not even available for me if we're playing at home against the Phoenix Suns. I think the Nets obviously have a super high ceiling. I also think they're on the brink of implosion, kind of. And I'm rooting for implosion as they continue to, yes, lose now six straight and are currently sixth in the East.
Yeah, I would say if they continue to struggle without him, then unfortunately we're going to have to start finding ways to back up our claim that it will be the Bucks in the top seed. I don't know. It's like very lazy. I feel like we've just sort of been like, when they figure it out, when they're going to be the top seed. And like, we've all sort of just resigned ourselves to that for so long. Like when they figure, when they're all healthy, like they'll be the top seed. They'll be the top seed. I hear, you know, people in the NBA world when they're talking about where potentially they'll have to go for the finals, right? It's they're like, well, you know, it's probably going to be Golden State and like probably Brooklyn. We've just sort of resigned ourselves to that. So this idea that we'd have to actually start paying attention to some of the other teams in the East, I think is really interesting because we just keep giving them more credit than they've deserved. Like, I don't understand why we just keep assuming that a threesome that's played together a handful of times is just going to figure it out. We have been waiting for a year and a half for that now.
Also, if they continue to struggle without Kevin Durant, then they're normal. Most teams are going to struggle without Kevin Durant. Not to bust it down too simple.
He's kind of good.
He's kind of incredible. And these are two players that, you know, Harden, streaky, like productive, but definitely a kind of player that rules have changed the way he plays. Kyrie, there is an entire volume to be written about the ways in which Kyrie Irving's game has been inconsistent for reasons that include on the court and off the court. So you can't just stack talent and hope it's going to, like, you can't just stack a bunch of stuff up and go, oh, it's going to be tall. No, it's got to stand. And that to me has been the story of the Nets, that you thought you'd get a bunch of talent together and it magically would happen and there would be instant chemistry. And a whole lot of things have come to interfere with that ever happening.
Yeah, I mean, the injuries, Al, which you alluded to, do matter here, right? So the Nets have four players at the very top of their roster in terms of payment: Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Joe Harris. They have played zero games together, right? Like, zero games together this season. And so the best hope for the Nets is that, and but this is why I'm with you. Like, we keep on assuming that they're going to come together, but, and I feel like such a broken record, but it's so true. Kyrie in the postseason is a news cycle we are going to be drowning in.
Oh,
because
God.
What's going to happen is already deeply predictable. And by the way, they're 4-6 in games in which he has played, but he's not going to be able to play in home games. Like, what are we doing? Like, this is this is not going to end well. In fact, the only way it ends well is if they somehow win the title. And I truly don't think that's going to happen.
Well, if they stay at the seating that they're at, then they don't have to worry about not playing at home because they won't do it that often.
Yeah, and Pablo and L, I think there is one other positive ending to this. L, I think we get a Hawks in the finals. Hawks in the finals. That's it. God. That's the other positive ending. Sure.
Is that a thing that we're going to claim now?
I'm going to lean into it because Atlanta's on a roll. Right? Yeah, no.
You're right.
Georgia got a title. Braves got a title. It's Trey's time. It's Trey's time. It's Trey time.
It's true because those two aforementioned teams have at some point in their history won a championship, and it's just been a really long time. The Hawks, still blank. Still none. And so maybe, why not now, right? Why not now? Why not them?
Greed is what I'm hearing from you people. Just greed. Just greed.
Exactly. It's been weeks,
isn't it
Pablo,
enough?
Since we've won.
Isn't
it's
it enough?
Weeks. Hell,
I mean,
no,
what's,
it's not.
What's,
are you
what's
serious?
Depressing?
No.
What's depressing is
no,
that
no,
I was about
no.
to laugh
you
at you guys
do
about
you know how
Hawks,
much,
and then
yeah, no, do you know how much? Do you know how much square footage you can get here? Like,
thank
real estate,
you.
It's cheap. We got trophies.
Yeah.
Bring, we got room.
Right. I'm all about the new money shit, right? Like, I once was on the Red Sox charter, and after that, I was like, you minions that fly public planes.
I was drinking beer and eating fried chicken with the Red Sox on their plane.
Right. I'm like, ew, you have to go through regular TSA? Gross. You know what I mean? Like, I'm 100% a new money person. Once I get a little glimmer of the high life, I'm all in. I love it.
So I've only journalistically been on a private jet. When I was doing a Canelo Alvarez boxing feature, I flew with him to like Mexico City from Miami, actually. And something that was stunning to me was like, oh, like TSA, not a thing if you're rich, apparently. Like, you just do whatever you want. Yeah, and yeah. I'm a journalist, Alabaster. Nice humble brag. Thank you. This is just journalism.
Yeah, you clear TSA. We would clear TSA at Fenway. Like, we would clear TSA. They would just like wand us and be like, keep it moving, homie. And it's the best, you know? And we get on the plane and they have like baskets of snacks and crustables and all of these fantastic things that grown women should like. And so I'm thinking, hell yeah, right? Like, this is dope. They even have like a whole thing of Chick-fil-A sandwiches. I was like, what the hell? Where is there even a Chick-fil-A in Boston? It doesn't matter. They created one just for this charter. So so I sit down and I'm happy. I am happy. I've got Chick-fil-A. I've got snacks. I'm shoving shit in my purse so that I can have it at the hotel. Then someone hits me with an actual menu because Legal Seafood was catering the flight. I'm like,
oh,
excuse me?
Shoot.
So I can also have some halibut with my
you
chicken
get
sandwich?
A clam chowder in a bread bowl?
That's
now?
What I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Regular travel is for the birds. Now, I was only on like two charters in my whole life, but I'm just saying, like, once you taste that, it's really hard to go back to pretzels or peanuts. Ew.
I don't know. Those cookies are really good. I'm still happy
Biscoff.
With that comfort. Yeah, I'm built different. I'm still happy with the comfort plus Biscoff life.
You can buy Biscoff cookies at the store now, Spencer.
They don't taste the same. They don't taste the same.
Oh, you're one of those. Oh, no. You're one of those.
It has to be in context.
I need to be in the same mood hormonally that allows me to cry at Coach Carter. If I'm going to fully appreciate these cookies.
The crying cookies. The cookies of airplane movie sorrow.
Just vulnerable, super vulnerable, emotional state cookies. Why is this resonating with me? I didn't even play basketball.
That's me in Hardball. It's guaranteed to get, when G baby dies, it's arguably the saddest cinema death I've ever seen. And I just was in the movie theater, like uncontrollably sobbing. I checked in with my therapist after that because there was just no reason to be that upset. But like, that's one of those movies where I'm like, I don't know why this is affecting me in this way, but like, it still resonates. It's still heavy on my heart that G baby didn't make it.
I watched Coco on a plane.
Oh no.
Why would you do that? Did you need to like cleanse your tear ducts?
No, I'm stupid. That's why I did it. I'm stupid and I make bad decisions. And I gotta tell you, you know, when Recuerda Me started playing, the cookies really helped. Once this, like, they took me to a place where I could greet that sorrow.
Oh,
eating cookies, crying into my beard.
Weeping,
yeah.
Muttering in Spanish.
Mm-hmm. She sang along. She remembered the words.
Oh, that was
Alabaster.
All right, Pablo.
What move? What?
I hope you have some Biscoff ready for this next topic.
Oh God!
Wait, I wanted to ask you something real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
Give us the movie that you've cried at on a plane. Come on, we're all sharing, and you're not being forthcoming with this.
So I've actually only cried once during a television show or a movie, and it was it was during Friday Night Lights, the TV show.
Oh no!
Which episode?
It was Coach Taylor with Matt Saracen when his dad leaves. He said, everybody leaves me. And Coach Taylor went from coach to father figure for poor Matt Saracen.
It was very sweet. Yeah.
He's bawling alone in my basement.
Why don't he want me, man?
Yeah. Matt Saracen was just I loved him. Just a sweetheart, that Matt Saracen. He was on a new show called Black Mass, and the whole time I called him Matt Saracen. I don't know what his real name is. I don't care. He's Matt Saracen.
You know what would have helped in that situation for you, Alabaster? A couple of Biscoff cookies. Let's get that sponsorship going. Yeah.
That was in my great absorption. They would not have tasted as well. That's good.
That was the one time you've cried. You gotta get in tune with your feelings, man.
I really do.
Wow, Charlie.
What are we doing? A little constipated emotionally is what I'm sensing from you, Alabaster. But we'll work on it. We have a long runway here.
Yeah.
Yep. Speaking of Pablo's tears. If Ben Simmons really sent salty DMs to Shaq, then blank.
As the only debatable panelist who is followed on Twitter by Ben Simmons, this story did resonate with me. Yes,
Put up the nice humble brag.
Yes,
yeah,
I know. I'm just asking
up.
For it at this point. How do we set this up, Alabaster? Because basically, from what I can tell, Shaq is doing the thing where he is, you know, him and Barkley are Statler and Waldorf of the NBA, right? They're sitting up in the rafters and they're mocking all of the people below. And we have a clip in which this is illustrated.
So he kind of got in my DM and said some things, and I said some things back.
What'd he say?
I can't do that.
He said some things.
No, I can't do that.
So wait, Ben Simmons DM'd you after he heard what you said last week?
Yeah. All I said is you're leaving your man out there, you need to play. That's all I said.
Okay.
And he said some things, but I'm not going to elaborate what he said because that's not cool. He was mad.
Mad at you.
Yeah, he's probably mad because I'm his LSU brother, and I am.
Oh, that's right. So for the podcast audience, Shaq was wearing ski goggles that looked like small because he's Shaq on his face, but all of that was delivered while wearing super reflective ski goggles. And then Shaq had said last week as well, quote, Simmons is a crybaby. I don't respect him, end quote.
Yeah, so that's not all he said. He didn't just say you're leaving your man out there. He called him a crybaby.
Yeah.
That is correct.
And I don't respect him.
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like the whole, like, not going to reveal the contents of our conversation doesn't necessarily do a lot for Ben Simmons in this equation.
Yeah, well, because mission accomplished. You showed him to be a crybaby who's too sensitive and can't take criticism, which we sort of already knew. But I love the idea that he has some code that's like, I'm going to reveal that he's the crybaby, but I'm not going to tell you exactly what he said as the crybaby.
No, go whole hog.
Be in touch with his feelings. I mean, these are synonyms. One is pejorative. One is just, I think, more empathetic.
Why? That is not fair. Why are you showing that image?
Oh, come on.
Can
we just give him one thing? I was laughing because those ski goggles on Shaq, if any of us wore them, they would look like those novelty frames that you get at the state fair. right? Correct. Because that's how big they actually are. On Shaq's, they look like a pince-nez on Shaq, and they're actually that big.
Bifocals.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, they barely cover his eye.
And those are the biggest they sell, I bet. Those are enormous.
But Shaq, I mean, look, Shaq, I also have to admit, like, when Shaq joined inside the NBA, when he became this figure who was going to be, like, full on commentator guy, I was skeptical because, you know, at first, like, Shaq was almost unintelligible vocally. He is now a guy who I just find delightful, even if he is emotionally terrorizing one of my favorite players. Like, I just like to listen to him.
I think that before we accept any and all input on Ben Simmons, we should remember that Shaq believed it took only 12 hours to get to the moon. This is an on-air admission yes. that he made, which fair game to you for laughing about it on air. But yeah, he said that it took 12 hours. It takes like 3 days to get to the moon.
Yeah, I can't laugh at Shaq because my geography in the Northeast is pretty bad. And I've said some really embarrassing things too that have probably shamed my family. So that seems insane, but it would also seem insane that you've lived in the Northeast for 8 years and you literally don't know what's west of Connecticut. I still don't. I've been told.
We've gone over. No, you and I have actually gone over this and yeah. I don't think either of us still have an answer.
I still don't know what is west of Connecticut. Is it? It's not Philly. It's not Pennsylvania. What's west of us? West of us. Oh, Jersey. I feel like I already guessed this. Well, I still don't know. Pablo, Google it or something. Someone quick.
New England is imaginary.
I just want to continue to theorize about what this
There are no real like. Borders in New England. Mm-hmm. It's
all
boundless.
Made up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
West of Connecticut is a little state.
New York.
We like to call New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
West is New... Right. Oh, right. Oh, got it. Now, east is Rhode Island. I finally figured it out.
Rhode Island's not real either. That's totally made up. Nobody's ever been there.
Yeah.
Agree. By the way, do you think Shaq is going to be super disappointed by Moonfall? Like, or is he going to be impressed by it? Because I feel like that's a movie that will teach him a lot about how far away the moon actually is.
Well, he's going to be right at one point in the movie, right? Because it will be 12 hours away. Because he's like, I was right all along. I just needed Moonfall to happen. Moon, played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson in his finest role.
Do you think that someone literally listened to Bad Moon Rising and was like, ooh, I have an idea about a terrible movie?
All I know is that I cannot wait to cry watching Moonfall while eating some of those cookies.
On an airplane. Yeah.
Yeah.
Such an emotional scene when the moon finds its dad.